Hey, what is going on, everybody? We're here to do kind of the day of the day after. The day after the day after?
2 days after. We had to wait for the games to play out.
We did. We had to wait for a couple of matches to play out just because there's a couple of things that we want to do some parallels into. Main interest is because Inter-Napoli, because Inter was the previous team we played before Monza, and then Napoli is the team that we are playing now after Monza. And we kind of wanted to have an idea so we can formulate some thoughts on what we expect for the Friday match against Napoli and what we also expected in hindsight 2020 against Inter. But I think the main thing that we'll tackle first is we'll break down Monza a little bit. Game of mixed emotions, a game where you're excited, a game where you're pissed off, a game where you're crying for joy at the end. It's all in the method of five freaking minutes. That's how crazy. And joining me.
Not even, really.
Is Dave. How are you, Dave?
Hey, what's going on? I totally ruined your intro. But yes, Sunday night, we are coming just about 15 minutes after the end of the Napoli Inter game. I was hoping for maybe more flourishing headlines for this one. Inter 1-3-0, this is releasing well into the future, so I hope I'm not spoiling. But yes, we do drop back into second, so not as happy as I was hoping to be this Sunday evening. Dash, how about you?
Me? I think the Inter match confirmed a couple of thoughts that I had in regards to how we played, how they played us, and how they played Napoli. The one thing that I saw was them really taking the game to Napoli, where it's like for us, they're really standoffish with us. I don't know. Maybe it's apparently Inzaghi sleeps and he checks under his bed for Allegri. That might be one of the things there. But Inter was not afraid to go at Napoli, and this was in Naples. Like, this wasn't in San Siro, where you can understand it's an away crowd. The Napoli fans are a tough crowd to play in, and they went in. They essentially exposed Napoli's back line. They exposed the space behind Napoli, and Inter cut through them like they were butter.
So this puts something to perspective, because we have in recent seasons have said, just generally, like the community, that teams are not afraid to play Juve anymore. So you do see teams like Monza last season really coming at us. But Napoli, that is truly a team that people are not afraid of anymore. Despite them just being the champions, they've become a shell of themselves. I understand, we have the coaching carousel. We're entering the coaching carousel at Napoli. I'm pretty sure of it. There's going to be a lot of stability. So take that for what it is, but I don't think anybody takes them serious. Like, no, they had 1 year. We didn't take them serious for 30 years. They had 1 year, and it's like, it's Napoli again.
Yeah. Well, Inter really exposed the space that they leave in the style of play, and also their coach isn't really known for playing a 4-3-3. Kind of has to as part of the agreement. One thing I thought was interesting, so the expected goals, Inter had 2.82 and they scored 3, so they outperformed the quality of chances that they created. And then when I'm looking at when Juve played Inter, as far as the expected goals, they had a 0.86.
Completely both away matches. Games. Yeah, completely different games.
So that kind of goes to show you the strides Allegri has made to make this Juve team very difficult to play against. We'll cover some of the errors and the mistakes, but that's impressive. That's very impressive, because 7 days, practically 7 days as far as differential here, and you go from a 0.86 against us to the reigning champions of Italy at their house, and you do a 2.86.
And yeah, it was a shootout there today.
It was for them. They were like Barella's goal. He was just sitting there like, wow, I can't believe I'm this open. Like, it's
didn't look good.
Something
I was hoping there might have been some controversy here and there, but regardless, Inter dominated the penalty. If it was one, wouldn't have mattered.
No, absolutely not. And they it was just one of those things where they just went for it and just got them. Like, it goes to show that they played afraid against us, and when it came to Napoli, they went and go and just went for it. So for a lot of the Juventino that are a little bit, you know, apathetic, apprehensive of us per se with the way that we play, and this isn't, look, I'm not a big guy on moral victories. I'm just kind of looking at it from what I see and the numbers tell me. And, you know, you can tell me the numbers are shit, which is fine. However, this is a totally different Inter versus us and a totally different Inter versus Napoli. So
we're just trying to extrapolate what we see taking this into the Napoli match, right? It's not, we're not trying to make science out of it. We're just trying to formulate an idea of what to expect next week.
Yeah, and Inter essentially gave Juve the blueprints on how to beat Napoli, force them out of position, exploit the space behind them. The only issue, and this is where we start getting into the Monza game, the only issue is conversion. Can we convert the chances we create?
Yeah, we do have that issue.
Juve right now, and a lot of people don't know this, but right now when we're looking at chance creation in the league, Juve rank in the top three. Expected goals, Juve is in the top of the league with 23. You want to know?
Finish.
We just don't finish. And we look at how many goals we've actually scored this season. We've only scored, bear with me here, 22. And our expected goals is 23.3. So we're underperforming. So we're not converting chances.
Well, easy with all the stats. You might be accused of Moneyball in this one.
It's not, but
no, I know.
And so when we look at big chances created, so opportunities created, Inter rank ahead of us with 30, Roma with 29, and then I believe Napoli has 20. We're tied with Napoli for third with 27. The only reason why Napoli have the head up on us is because they've scored three more goals. Yeah. So we're creating chances. The chances are there, and these are big chances. Like, you're an idiot if you miss, in a sense, kind of chances.
Vlahovic chances.
Oh, boy. I hope he's still in Monza. And then when we look at it, and this is something you don't want to be known for. Juve lead the league in big opportunities missed. So clear-cut chances that they've missed. The only teams that are there are Udinese and second, third with Cagliari, and then we have Inter, Napoli rounding out the top five. Inter with 20, Napoli with 20. But if you look at Inter, they've scored 33 goals and they've missed 20 big chances, where Juve's only scored 22, missed 27. So offensively, a little bit underperforming. And the reason why I say that is now we transition this into the Monza game. So Juve winning that game 2-1. I should probably pull up some stat sheets for the people watching the video, right? Yeah. So
just before we transition hard into Monza, I just want to bring up one thing that Scottish-Italian commentator said. He said Napoli needs to watch out for Juventus now next week. They're doing really well, and they're not even playing that great this year. Something to that effect, a paraphrase, but basically saying Juve is not at their best and they're still killing it. So Napoli just got trashed by Inter. And then we saw the Juve Inter game. Watch out for Juve. We're coming for you.
Well, so it's an interesting argument, right? So with it being said, so with it there, it's like with all the mistakes and all the issues that we're having, we're still playing winning footy. You can agree to disagree. Like, you can agree or not. It's winning football. They're winning
the position
matches.
In the table doesn't lie. Like, you can't argue the position in the table.
Like, is it pretty? No. And it's kind of interesting because Dave and I are seeing people kind of turn around and head into our camp. And I think you and I have kept this consistent for the last 2 years when it comes to it. Like, it's ugly, but this is the resources we have at hand.
Oh, I've thrown things and been mad and angry at stuff, but...
Oh yeah! Have you watched our watch-alongs? You've seen us make some very funny faces, and they're pretty hysterical. But at the end of the day, though, it's a fair method of criticism, right? Where you can say that Allegri doesn't develop young players, Allegri doesn't develop players, he can't build a foundation, et cetera, et cetera. All fair points. I'm not going to tell it's stupid. The one thing I need to tip my cat to him, and to be honest with you, I didn't expect it, but he's getting the best out of this squad that's misfiring. Like, the only thing that's firing correctly is its defensive phase of the ball. Midfield transition, offensive play, dumpster fire.
Yet it's still not the offense, but the goals, and it's the midfield and the defense.
You want a funny stat, Dave?
Yes.
You want to know how many goals our striker or our forwards have scored in the last 9 games?
It's zero now, is it not? Still one. Zero? Is
Dusan that one?
Dusan got the one. That's right. Yes, Dusan got the one.
Because as we're going into the Monza match, our 2 goals were scored by Rabiot, a defensive-oriented pivot, and Gatti, a center back. Our forwards. We have Mr. Dumpster Fire number 9 over here. And then we have Federico Chiesa, who I think, and this is one of the questions that I've been asking around on Discord and also on our post-game show, is it time that we kind of get out of the honeymoon phase on Freddie Beans or on Freddie Church here?
Yeah, we're going to have to dedicate some time on, maybe, is that a tinfoil hat type of thing?
I think it might be worth doing that. I honestly do, because I think we opened up a good conversation on Friday post Monza about it. Because, mm-hmm. like, we look at Chiesa's stats, right? And he's got an expected goals of 0.12, expected assists of a 0.08, so a 0.2 overall. And it's just, it's not good. And then accurate, when it comes to passes, his pass accuracy is 76. I don't like pass accuracy as a stat, because you can pass behind you and it counts towards it. Like, you can just do a layoff to your center back and it counts. So the one thing that I recommend that we look at is big chances created, if there is even any, and I don't see any. So shot accuracy, 0%, 2 block shots, 30 touches, 2 touches in the box. That is not good. Left wing, right wing, center forward, he's not touching the ball. Successful dribbles, 0 for those people that used to argue and saying that means something. Passes into the final third, only 4. 4 passes into the final third. He's not going for the ball. Accurate long balls, 50%. Accurate crosses, 1 at 100. Duels, 1, 3. He's lost 2 duels. I think this is defensive duels, not even players taken on.
Yeah, so he's doing a bit defensively.
Yeah, it's almost like he's playing that defensive work per se, and it's just his. So, he created a single chance. It's about 1. But we look at, like, for example, if you look at your man of the match over here with Rabiot, expected goals 0.18, expected goals on target 0.16, expected assists 0.37. Rabiot has a 0.55 expected goals and assists, overall contribution higher than Chiesa. Chances created 2 beats Chiesa there. Again, if I'm not going to count pass accuracy for Chiesa, I'm not going to count it for Rabiot. Looking on accuracy for attack, shot accuracy is at 100, 54 touches. Touches in the box equals Chiesa, 2 less than Chiesa, right? Successful dribbles, obviously Rabiot can't dribble. Dispossessed 1 time. So Chiesa didn't even have, I don't think Chiesa had the dispossessed stat, did he? Yeah, so, 0.
Yeah, there was,
okay.
Yeah, cool. He had a clean game defensively.
He had
just didn't produce anything.
He's just not contributing to the offense.
And all right, well let's shelf this one for the tinfoil hat later.
That's
going to
be
we'll
something
dive
we,
into it.
We go in a little bit deeper there, but
yeah, a bit of a teaser.
Yeah, we like to tease you guys. But if we look at this numerical wise, Sandro, I think that was one of those games where you didn't have to call his name out, so that's technically a win.
Yeah, he did his job. He did okay.
Yeah. Bremer, I think Bremer has just proven to be the anchor of the defense. Pretty solid on there. I think Tech's number went down here because of that goal or the cross that ended up being a goal, which is interesting because Gatti has the highest rating in the defense, even though I 100% put that on him.
You can say it was his fault. They must have been, like, Tech must have been screened. I don't know how well he saw that ball coming in. It was a funny one, right? Because you set up either going for a shot or a cross, and it's this cross shot. It's like a changeup in baseball, right?
It was a changeup cross.
It just throws you off,
for sure.
So it was a funny one.
I you know, it's interesting to have this conversation about Gatti, right? Because Chiellini and Bonucci at his age weren't even on the pitch starting. They weren't. And then Barzagli was in Serie B. So for him to be starting and playing at Juventus at that age, it's a great achievement, right? Mm-hmm. Perfect achievement. My only concern that I have is him being a defensive liability. Because it's two games back to back.
Yeah. He does do that once in a while. Yeah, he is a liability if we talk about it multiple times a season.
Because Gatti is that player that with grit and just drive, he makes up for lack of field awareness, lack of situational awareness, because he has that. That's something that is one of the biggest holes in his game. However, he said, I got this. I'm going to get it real back real quick. And he did.
Barely.
It wasn't for a whiff. My concern with it is I'm hoping, obviously it comes with maturity, right? I'm sure he'll grow once he hits 28, 29, 30 years old. I'm sure he'll be a lockout center back once he gets some more games under his belt.
Oh, he's going to have like over 100 games by that point, right?
Yeah.
Like he's going to be a seasoned vet by the time he's 30.
The thing that I kind of want to bring attention to is that because right now, the way that we're playing and the way that we have to play because our offense is just not converting on chances, your defense needs to pitch, and this is a baseball analogy for folks, a two-hitter or a one-hitter in a sense. Because you're not going to pitch a perfect game, right? So, like, for example, today's game is a one-hitter where they got one back, where Monza got one back. And the margin for error right now is so small and is one of the things why I give this back line an enormous amount of praise and credit.
Because they're always working on the edge?
Yeah, it is. They're working on the edge every single game, right? And people can say, well, it's because Allegri sat back in the 60th minute. Guys, there is no way in hell a coach is going to press for 90 minutes nonstop. Absolutely no way in hell. The idea is, and this is what Inter did very well against Napoli, the moment I get a chance to go forward, I'm scoring. Because mm-hmm. Napoli had the ball and Napoli possessed the ball over Inter the entire match. Inter said, you know what? I'm going to take it and I'm going to score. And there's nothing you can do about it. So with Juve, and we'll kind of go down and we'll mention Big Mac and Cambiasso, you know, no complaints. They did what they needed to do. Kostic, he's there.
I would say for the most part, everyone just kind of did their job outside of Chiesa Vlahovic. And then Gatti, you give a little. Gatti, Rabiot, okay, you guys did a little bit more than your job.
So when we look at the numbers here, 2-6 expected goals. So you round it, you're supposed to score 3.
Yeah, I mean, that's Vlahovic's 2.6.
Yeah. 18 shots, 7 on target, 4 big chances. They had 0 big chances, 3 big chances squandered. So what that means is this was one. This is one. And then I believe this was another opportunity. One of these were an opportunity right here at this point that we didn't do it. When we look at this, Monza, the entire first half, all but a whisper in a sense. Where we had these big dips in ability, this huge one here, and then that to close the half and that to start the half off. Allegri's scheme is first half will be aggressive. It depends on if we're playing against a lesser team, a province side or a provincial side. I hope I said that right.
Roll with it.
All right, cool. So if Juve were to go up 3-0, 3-1 or something like that, now we're at this point where it's a different conversation that we're having, right? It's 3-1, Monza get one at the death, etc. However, we didn't convert here. We didn't convert here. We almost didn't convert at this instance. We got lucky we were able to follow it up the corner after. And then
it was technically, it didn't actually go off. Like it went off Doosan, I think. It shouldn't have been corner. We got lucky.
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, there was some replay later that it looked like it went off Lavich. So yeah, we did get away with one.
I gotcha. So when we're looking at all that stuff here, and we get to the point where we're getting here, this team essentially pressed for about 55 to about 60 minutes where they're being aggressive. And then at that point, Allegri's like, okay, these guys are getting tired. I can't afford to let these guys press, be out of position, make mistakes and errors. I need to hunker down and just ride this out. That's where he makes the adjustment. Am I okay? Am I a fan of his subs? No, not really. But unfortunately, that's the personnel that we have. This to me shows 100% that our forwards in our offensive place, they're just not converting the chances, because the chances are there. It's 2.6. You look at Roberto De Zerbi's Brighton today against Chelsea. It was 3-3 until the end. And Chelsea had a man down for 45 minutes. De Zerbi's expected goal going into the final 10 minutes of garbage time was 0.3.
You love bringing up De Zerbi, though.
I do, because that's the thing, right? We're talking, people are saying that Juve don't have chances. They're there. We're just not converting them.
Yeah, it's super frustrating. Like we said, we love the wins, the record. Man, is it frustrating. Oh,
we're happy. I mean, I don't know if we mentioned this at all, Dave, but we're happy about this. There's no issue with it.
No, we mentioned it. But it's so frustrating.
It's frustrating. And like, for example, it's a little bit of both ways, right? So the argument of whether or not this is sustainable and whether this isn't sustainable, the answer is both. But the idea is, the reason why I say the answer is both is this. Right now, our center backs are doing all the scoring, right? They're doing the scoring and the defending. If your offense is able to turn on or start working properly, then it doesn't matter if your defense scores or not. They just have to play the same kind of defense. So therefore, it is sustainable because your offense is finally firing. However, and this is the opposite point. Give them both points here, folks. Don't get mad at me here. If your defense stops scoring and your offense is still sputtered, then you're fucked. And that's kind of what happened a little bit of last season.
Well, it's working so far. We did have this discussion. Is it sustainable? 14 matches. We're still 2 points back on Inter. At what point would we consider it sustainable?
You can technically argue for it now, right?
You could. That's kind of what I'm getting at. It's starting to look like that this might actually be sustainable. I would want to see maybe, yeah, let's get to the Christmas break. Couple more games, but it's looking like it could be, and it has been done in the past. Don't forget, guys, this is championships have been won this way.
So. Yeah, and it's always a given, right? The best defense wins in Serie A. It's one of those things where the offense needs to start being able to fire, because there's no way you're going to end a season with your center backs getting 10, 15 goals each. That's just not possible, right? It's kind of weird and unheard of, to say the least. But the funny thing is, apparently Gatti finished the back three rotation of goals, because Bremer had a goal, Rugani had a goal, and then Gatti was the only one that was missing it.
Oh, Sandro needs to get one.
Yeah, Sandro needs to get one. Because Federico Gatti is fifth right now in the team stats for goals scored.
Wild.
Which is nuts. He's got two.
Man. It's great. We say it every week as well. The defense. Yes, Gatti had a slip up this week. We understand. But otherwise, this defense has been holding this team together.
Yeah. I do want to give props, though, to the roster in itself, because this was one of the first times that they conceded and then they rebounded in less than 3 minutes.
In bullshit time as well.
Yeah.
94th minute, right? You get scored on the 92nd, you come back in the 94th. Man, like who would have thought? That's not a Juve game typically, unless it's a derby. No. Like Derby d'Italia, you might see that. But Who expected that this weekend?
No, nobody did.
Why?
I didn't, because you saw us during the watch along. We're just like, oh, shoot.
Yeah, we were all deflated, and then all of a sudden we're throwing things again. It was good. I was, again, the emotions, because you're so disappointed at what Gatti just did. Then he completely whiffs on a ball, and you just know Gatti, and you get so disappointed at him a second time. And because he whiffs on the ball, the defender is now out of the way, and he's got an empty net. And it's like, how? How did that just unfold the way it did?
It did. Well, the interesting thing is he moved Keane off the ball in a sense. Because he went for it. He got it. He was like, hey, I want this. I'm taking this. I'm scoring this. Get out of my way. And he gets it. He goes for it.
Emotions. Good emotions, bad emotions. Ultimately, they're winning emotions. Loved it nonetheless. Wow. I feel like this one kind of went quick. It wasn't. Everything happened in the last 5 minutes. More or less. The first 12 minutes. And then nothing. And then the last... Well, the last four minutes.
Say, like, for most of the second half, you and I were just like naming off jokes half the time during the stream.
Yeah.
We're just like goofing off 90% of the time.
Yeah, a lot of what our job is these days is just trying to be general entertainment through the lulls of the match.
So I have a funny stat number. I'm going to throw it at you and I'm going to see what your reaction is. Out of the last four penalties, how many has Dusan missed?
Three.
Yes. What is this?
And I was there for one of them.
You know what his last, how much he's done in his last seven?
How many?
He scored three in his last seven penalty spots.
That's like Jorginho levels.
That is atrocious. And he's a striker. I at this point, I really don't know what the expectations is for him.
To do better?
Can
he? I'm hoping just generally it's just to do better.
I don't know. Like, I said this, right? We both said this. If you do the celebration that you did.
The celebration. That's still bothering you, but it's true.
It is. And I was reading social media and everyone's like, well, that's kind of awkward. He did all that and this is what he does after. My issue with it, Dave, is that two things. One, you don't have the consistency, or you don't have the clout or the ability to do that because you're not that guy. Mm. Like, for example, Messi can do something like that because Messi has a pedigree of what he is. And if he's off, he can do that. He can shush the crowd. He can do this or whatever. My second issue of it is he did it in front of our fans.
Yeah, the Cordova.
If you do that celebration, you do that in an away stadium. You don't do that at home. Because there's two things that he did in that celebration, right? The keep talking, and then the weight of their shirt, him lifting his shirt up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, and then you lay a goose egg, not even a week after.
It's bad. I can't agree with you. Who are there people? I guess the question is now, are there people still defending Vlahovic?
Oh, absolutely.
And what's their argument now?
They don't have anything. They're going to say what they've been saying for the whole time. Allegri ruined Vlahovic.
I'm blaming Allegri still. Okay. That's
what other, like, what other argument can they make? The dude's 1-for-3 in penalties that he's shot for Juve. Mm-hmm. Like what else? Like, is it Allegri that tells him to shoot terribly? Like, how to be a piss poor penalty taker? How to not follow up after your shot? Like, my issue, this is what's irritating, is because he is essentially locking the team from being what it can be. That's what's irritating. His wage,
he's definitely supposed to be an unlock. Yeah. Yeah. All those things.
Absolutely. And it's just, for me, it's extremely frustrating, right? Where it's like, it's you sell him, you get two ball playing midfielders, and then we have a different conversation of how our team is flowing. Mm-hmm. Easily have a different conversation, because it's just like, and this is where I kind of harp on Chiesa a little bit too. So, pop quiz for folks. How many players do you need to effectively move the ball forward on a pitch? It's not as much as you think it is. And it's
you
not
technically
as less...
only need one person.
Technically, you need one, but to move it effectively and exploit space, you need three people. Three people. Teams attack in a system of triangles. Effective teams attack in a system of triangles. The coach tells you, hey, these are the triangles that I want you to establish. However, there is no such thing as a perfect world. And defensive coverages adjust and they change, and you need to alternate your pivot and your triangles. And your two forwards in a 3-5-2 are huge points of the triangle. The problem is they don't understand how to adjust and move. If you watch the watch along, I try breaking it down mid-game of the triangles and the alternating movements that aren't there. And that's one of the things that's hurting us right now is our offensive triangles are killing us because our forwards aren't understanding them and are not converting on opportunities that are present to them. So Monza shows us a couple of things. Monza showed us that A, defensively, outside of a blip, and you can argue because it was pouring really hard, and which is another thing, Juve finally broke the rainy day
curse. We both broke the Monza curse.
We did too. Two in one game. So we broke the rainy day. We broke the Monza curse. Scudetto 2024 confirmed. But we did show a couple of things, right? Defensively, we're solid. We're fine with letting people play with the ball. We can shut them out. I think, again, the big need or the big focus is that we need to get our offense going. One goal out of our forwards in the past 9 weeks, nine games. It is not good. And I think it's maybe I'm being dramatic with nine because I did it like 2 weeks ago and I said six.
It's a lot. It's too much.
It's a lot. It's still it's a lot. It's a lot. I mean, our top scorer has five goals. Mm-hmm. That is not good. That is mid-table at best.
Even though we have said that it's supposed to be a collective effort amongst the team, the fact that they're having so many sitters for Vlahovic, it makes it inexcusable, really, at the end of the day. At the price that we're paying them and that we paid for him, we need a better return on investment essentially what it comes down to.
If we purchased him for $25 million as a prospect, I would not be having this conversation. Mm-hmm. This conversation would not be anything. We wouldn't even talk about it. The fact that we paid $85 and his wage, and this is the production we're getting, and right now it's just not good. Like, people keep telling me this Chiesa-Vlahovic connection. It doesn't exist. It's not there. It's not a thing. They had one assist to each other. Two, technically. But that's about it. Because, like, you look at the scoring charts. Dusan 5, Chiesa 4. And then it drops off to Rabiot at 2. And a bunch of players with 2 and 1 goal contributions. It's got to be better. But I think we need to transition out of the game. And let's transition into some shenanigans. Dave, you have it.
Yeah. So let's finish this one off on a bit of a lighter note. I know we kind of have that somber Sunday evening. I have a snowstorm ripping through myself. How about you?
I just have rain.
All right? Just the rain. Okay, yeah, it's raining down south. So it's one of those cozy up kind of get the robe and the fireplace going. One of those kinds of nights. But let's bring it up a notch here. Gagliardini talking shit. So after Carboni's goal, Gagliardini was seen celebrating. I'm reading Football Italia, by the way. Was seen celebrating provocatively in the face of an unimpressed Rabiot, who did not respond or react. In an amusing twist of fate, Rabiot then provided the assist for Gatti's last-second winner, allowing Juve to snatch all 3 points just before the final whistle. So Rabiot responded to Gagliardini on Instagram after the match. With this post. So this is Gagliardini yelling at Rabiot after their goal. And he says, "Learn to always stay humble, because until the referee blows the whistle for the end of the match, everything is still possible. Remember this." So a bit of Instagram drama between Gagliardini and Rabiot.
Yeah, but Gagliardini responded like a bitch, though.
He was, yeah.
He responded like a bitch. He's like, if it stays on, no. Bro, the moment you knew you were on camera when you did that, 100% knew you were on camera. Like, I'm not going to lie. Rabiot got some brownie points for me because that's one, that's petty. But two, that's fucking hilarious at the same time. Because
yeah, you like a bit of pettiness.
I love it. Because hey man, fuck around, find out. You got to be careful. And the funny thing is like, he was like, Gagliardini was trying to clap back by saying, hey man, you should stop taking shit to social media and listen to your mom. And everyone's like, oh, good one, bro.
I did forget to say that point of it. Yeah, yeah, because when you got nothing better to say, when you're unintelligent, you just start throwing out the mom jokes.
I was gonna say, yeah, it's like de facto number one. It's like, hey, you suck. Well, you know what?
Your mama.
I love it. I mean, that is like, for example, that's what you kind of need to see, right? Like, a lot of people are like, hey, I need to see grit, I need to see aggressiveness. Rabiot clap back and say, hey man, shut the fuck up, I beat you. Like, that's in layman's terms, right?
And well, he did it twice. He has a goal and an assist, so
he cooked.
Kind of can say whatever the hell he wants.
Cooked your squad.
Yeah,
he is officially your father. Change your birth certificate to Adrien Rabiot,
mm-hmm.
And that means his mom is your grandma.
Oh, buddy, how do you like that?
I love it. That to me, I love it because, like, for example, that is the difference between Rabiot and Dusan, right? Mm-hmm. Dusan chat shit and then ate shit. Rabiot got shit chatted too, so he fucked that shit up, essentially. Because literally, within 15 seconds of him taunting Rabiot, what does Rabiot do? Beat three guys on the dribble and lays off a dime to Gatti.
That was a beautiful dribble, too.
It was a great dribble.
His dribble.
Great dribble. Yeah. But that, and he's your captain, so if I'm a player and I see my captain absolutely pull that shit, hell yeah, I'm fired up. Hell yeah. Like right
and
now,
when you only have to play for another 60 seconds and you win the match, definitely fired up.
Hell yeah. Because now that's the first thing they're talking about in the locker room. They'll be like, hey, yo, Rabiot, remember the one time you talk shit to Gagliardini like that? And he's like, hell yeah. That is what great teams have, right? You have someone, they've got people like that that are willing to be dogs. Like, look, Rabiot might not have the best season so far. Hopefully he turns a corner here. But little things like that go a big way in a locker room. Where it's like you're able to do stuff like that, that builds confidence, that builds vigor. It helps build the guys around you, and hopefully it gives confidence to some of the goobers that don't have any, or at this point are just garbage. But you need to see that from your captain, right? That's one of those things that people love about your captains. Yeah. You're not really going to see it out of Allegri, which is fine. I understand it. It's just kind of how Allegri rolls. But the fact that Rabiot clapped back at him on social media, because that's on camera. That's literally it right there. Like that, I think you and I saw it in real time. We were just kind of like, what the hell is he doing?
Yeah, they went a little over the top. I understand the emotions. You know, you tied in the 91st minute. Totally get it. But that's not really called for.
Well, it's like, I don't know, maybe they've been chirping the entire game.
Maybe.
But at the same time, you know, I'm looking at it from this perspective where he comes up to, like, if I'm playing on the field and some guy taunts the hell out of me like that, I'm going to be like, all right, I'm going to give you this work. Let's go.
Yeah, and let's, you know, and I'd be known to chirp myself on the bench. So, and I spend a lot of time on benches. So I got good at it.
What Dave is saying is that Canadians are not nice people. Watch out for them. They are aggressive.
Yeah, it's always Bale.
Super, super aggressive. Shall we preview the Napoli match a little bit or tease it just to folks for that?
We kind of did at the beginning tease it a little bit.
We did. We recapped Inter and Napoli, but
into it. But yeah, we can slide back into some Napoli. We're gonna make them look sillier than Inter because we're gonna do it with a 1-0 win instead of a 3-0. And we're going to have a higher XG doing it.
We're going to have a higher XG with only one goal. We're going to have a 5XG and only one goal to show for it.
Yeah, screw you, Winter.
Yeah. We're more efficient that way, even though that's not efficiency whatsoever.
Inverse efficiency.
Let's have some fun here. Let's see what the stats are, just because why not? So obviously Juve ranked sixth in the league for goals scored per match, 1.6. We have kept the most clean sheets in the competition, 8. Filip Kostić is ranked 1 in big chance creation in the competition, 9. Wow. Napoli is ranked 2nd in the league with goals scored per match. Napoli have won the last 2 matches against Juve, and that pisses me off because I hate that. I hate that so much. It's frustrating. And then the other thing is Napoli have not kept a clean sheet in the last 5 matches. So defensively, they're struggling. No bueno. And the other thing, too, is they're missing Mario Ri as one of their main guys until mid-December. He might come back over the weekend, might not. But this game's going to be interesting because it's not Spalletti. It's not Rudy Garcia. It's Mr. Mazzarri. And Mazzarri's only been in charge for a little bit. And if we look at Napoli's...
couple weeks.
Napoli have not been hot, as one
not
would say.
Not at all, no. They're in the fight. Let's not discount too much, but they have not looked very great.
Yeah, they've dropped down to 5th on the table. 3-0 loss to Inter, 4-2 loss to Real Madrid, 2-1 win to Atalanta, 1-0 loss to Empoli, which that was when Rudy Garcia got fired. So Napoli I don't really know how to phrase it. They're defensively, they're not solid, and offensively they are, but it's just now I think maybe people just figured out how to play them. And then not having the same coach to really innovate your style, and with De Laurentiis saying we need to play a 4-3-3 or you're out, in a sense, to Mazzarri, kind of handcuffs him to what he does, because Mazzarri isn't really known for being a 4-3-3 tactician. So a little bit of a struggle.
Handcuffed, yeah.
But right now, I think the good thing for Juve is there's a 9-point gap between top 4 and where we're at right now. So,
and that's if we're looking at what the realistic goal of getting top 4 is. That's pretty healthy for this stage of that tournament.
Yeah, I think holistically, I think that's what we're looking for. Like, if you're looking at Juve's board, what they're looking for is to be sure to qualify for it. I think, I don't know if this is true or not, Dave. If Juve were to beat Napoli, they've essentially qualified for top 4 for next season. Allegedly.
Today? Or, sorry, on Friday?
I mean, like, pace-wise.
Oh, sorry. It's like a... yeah. Hypothetically yeah. speaking, like what?
So I don't know where. Yeah, I don't know where I'm living. I don't know. I saw this on social media somewhere where someone was saying if they were to beat them next week, essentially Juve have opened up a very, like, their percentage for top 4 goes like ridiculously
sure,
off.
Sure. Yeah. Like if you extrapolate the data, then sure, it makes sense.
Let me. I kind of want.
That's only match day 15 as well.
Yeah, if I can look, I'm going to look at the table for last season and look at the point.
We're further ahead.
Yeah, we're further ahead pace. So
we're further ahead. Last week we were further ahead on the non-defeated season, sorry, in points.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show how many ties that season had.
Because with this season we've done 14. It's kind of tough to, so in, say that we double our point total and we go to 28. So I move it up to 28 and we double the total. We would be at 66 points. And yeah, at 66, you're pretty much in the thick, pretty much there. I mean, I don't know. I'm not really sure where that person got that stat or that sentiment. It is what it is. I thought I would just kind of throw it out there. And
I think that's just the point trajectory, right? You've gained this many points in this many matches, it's this ratio, so you extrapolate that ratio and this is where you should be at 38 matches. Yeah. That's probably where they're going with it.
Yeah, I could see that. So while we're recording this, I just got some breaking news post interview from Nicolò Barella. You want to know what he said?
What did he say?
He said Juve are the most difficult team to face due to their system. Well, Napoli, there's ridiculous amount of space and we got excited and we wanted to exploit every ounce of it. It's his quote, like his words.
Well, then, how do you like them apples from the enemy?
Yeah.
That's very interesting. I can take a compliment like that from Barella. I still want to punch him, but sure. Yeah, I'll take it.
So There's a couple of, like, for example, and we'll break that game into the tinfoil hat show that we're doing on Wednesday evening, because there's a couple of, like, non-calls, some calls. There's a bunch of things that's going on as well. Like, for example, with a build-up play, apparently Inter broke something up in the build-up. There's that build-up where it wasn't reviewed on VAR and whatnot that led to a goal. So there's going to be that as well. Also, our good friend Paredes with some parting words for us. He also mentioned something about us as well.
Yeah, he got banged up today.
He did, but you want to know what he said?
What did he say?
Everyone here at Roma trusts me. It's not difficult, unlike the last season in Serie A.
I wonder why they didn't trust you.
Yeah, I wonder why. And my favorite is the comments, because people in the comments are like, well, you're at your level, that's why.
Beautiful.
Oh, it's wonderful. But to leave it with some parting words to you guys, I think the big thing is depending on where we are at the table, I think we'll influence our January transfer strategy. Mm-hmm. So I think once you start seeing the names that we're linked to or who we're going for, that's going to be essentially what the game plan for the future is and how we're going to go about it.
It is now December 3rd, actually. So I imagine the midweek news is going to start rolling in some transfer rumors.
Yeah, and I recommend you guys hop into the Tinfoil show that we do on Wednesdays, because we try to kind of differentiate with what we're doing, right? Like, for example, yeah, this is a podcast format, so most of the time we're just talking about stuff and we'll throw in random stuff. But something that we're really, like, when we do a post game or when we do a call-in, we tend to kind of keep it broad. We don't focus in on certain aspects unless we need to focus in on a tactical breakdown or something. Whereas, like, the tinfoil hat show that we're doing is we're focusing on the news, like rumors, what ifs, conspiracy theories, Juve related, of course. Like, that is where we do a real deep dive into. And we've kind of given some articles and some things about it. Also, remember, folks, we do have a Discord community. It's a very big prosperous. I can't even think of the word right now.
Pompous. We're pompous.
We're arrogant. No, but it's a really good community. A bunch of the guys there chat all the time. We created a new forums page, so if people want to get into like a debate about a topic or something, they can go in there and exchange messages on there.
Also, the merch as well. We're discussing new merch in the forums on the Discord, so have your say, get in there.
Yeah, absolutely. And then to follow up on that, we have pro clubs as well, and I'm sure some of the guys will be playing on the evenings. That's an awesome community where there's a bunch of folks playing pro clubs for the team as well. Lots of stuff, lots of resources. You want to talk about next-gen players or youngsters or different types of things, or even if you want to ask Colin for marble countertops. Mm-hmm. We got that there for you. But just remember to like on that one, or like on that, sign on and join the Discord. You can't like a Discord. Where am I going with this?
You can in your heart.
You can in your heart. That's true.
Love it. Love the Discord.
But keeping this one a little bit short and sweet, because we don't want to bore you guys with some filler information that's not really pertinent. Do remember to like and subscribe if you're watching this on the YouTube. If you're on Spotify, give it a 5-star rating. Share it to your friends as well. And we will see you on the YouTube, folks. We'll see you Wednesday for sure. And for the Spotify folks, we'll probably see you in a week. So thanks for tuning in to this one, and we'll catch you in on the next one.
Spotify people, if you just want to see us sooner, just come to YouTube. It's easy. See you there.